Please turn with me this evening to verses we find in the chapter of which we read a portion in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 11. We shall read again at verse 21. Luke chapter 11 at verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Amen. These words in our text follow the incident that is recorded in verse 14 of the chapter. We learn there that Christ was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Here you have an extreme manifestation of satanic power. The devil that possessed this individual had this effect upon the man. It rendered him dumb. The extraordinary thing, in a sense, is what follows. Christ performs this miracle, this mighty deed, and yet, when we would expect all the people who behold what is done to rejoice and to praise God, instead we find that they are divided in their opinion. The people wondered, we are told in verse 14. But then in verse 15, some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." It was ever so in the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he glorified God by his teaching or by his miracles, the people who heard him and observed him were divided in their opinion of him. Now, such an extreme manifestation of satanic power was rare, and we believe is rare, that an individual might be possessed by a devil. In the New Testament scriptures, you find this on occasion. It may be among the Gentiles where you would expect it, but it also occurs where there are Jewish people. And it is a testimony to the fact that the Jewish religion by the time of Christ was utterly degraded. There had been a great apostasy. The word of God was not loved, believed, and obeyed. Here you have the reaction of some. When Christ frees a man who is in bondage to Satan because possessed by a devil, people saying, "Oh well, we know how he's done that. We know what power is in the Lord Jesus Christ, claims to be some great miracle worker. It's not the power of God. It's an evil power. It's the power of Beelzebub, the chief of the devil." In another account of the same incident, the people are saying, "He hath an unclean spirit. That's how he does it. That's the power that operates in him." Oh, how sad. How blind these people were. How hard of heart. And we might say, and we're right to say, this was an extreme thing. That a devil should possess an individual. and have that total control over an individual, afflicting body and soul. But the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to speak of how there is relevance in this matter to all. He speaks of the spiritual realities behind the affairs of this world, and the spiritual realities which are applicable to the life of each and every individual who lives in this world. He speaks of the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God. These are the two great spiritual realities. The power of light and truth, and the power of darkness and falsehood. Dear friends here tonight, it must be so that we are in one or other of these two kingdoms. It must be that we are either under the power of God by His Spirit and by His grace, or we're in the kingdom of the evil one. We're believing the lie. We're following a falsehood. And we're going on in our blindness and our deadness of spirit unto destruction. Sin in our heart. The devil having an influence over us. And we perhaps being ignorant of that. And not wise to that. And not caring about that. All these are present realities. And these are things we must think upon. And may the Lord be pleased to help us ponder carefully the words we have in our text. The Lord Jesus goes on after he has taught somewhat about these kingdoms and about the power of Satan and the power of God to give an illustration, a parable, if you will. And in this parable, there are two characters. The first one is identified as a strong man. And the second as a stronger than he. And because it is a parable, we are to apply these things to the great matter of salvation, the great matter of the individual soul, and his need to enter into the kingdom of God, and the way in which the sinner may enter into God's kingdom. That is what we will seek to do with the Lord's help here this evening. Let us consider, first of all, the strong man. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Who is the strong man? Well, evidently this must refer to Satan, the chief evil spirit. Satan, who was once Lucifer, a bright and shining and glorious angel, but who was lifted up in pride and who rebelled against God. He would be as God and occupy the throne of God. Ah, but God, in judgment, cast him down, and those spirits that followed him cast him down to the earth. And Satan is a spirit. He has no body. He's not hampered by having a body with its appetites, its needs that must be met, as we are. And so he's always busy. He's always going about his work. And what is the work of Satan? Well, Satan is an evil angel. Satan is a malevolent being, always and ever in his opposition to God. He would seek to destroy the work of God. And the great work of God is the work of redemption. and the salvation of sinners. That's how the Lord gets glory to His name. God is glorified in His works of creation and providence. We see His glory in that. But you see His glory, friends, displayed to the full in this great work of salvation, all the divine attributes coming together at the cross of the Lord Jesus and seen there in the salvation of individual sinners of mankind. And Satan, in his pride, and we might say in his vanity, would seek to undo the work of God, to frustrate the work of God, to spoil the work of God. Satan has access to man. And we read here of a strong man armed, keeping his palace. What might the palace represent? I suggest to you that the palace represents the heart of man. It literally means a nobleman's house. And you see, the heart of man was once a nobleman's house, the dwelling place of God. Ah, but no longer. Not since the sin and fall of our first parents. The whole race lying in wickedness. And now Satan occupying the throne of man's heart, which God ought to occupy. We read here too of the armor that belongs to the strong man. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace. He keeps his palace. He keeps the heart of man through his armor. He has influence over it and control over it by means of his armor. We would say weaponry, perhaps. Satan has weaponry that he deploys against man. All his weaponry is offensive in character. What weaponry does he have? He has temptation. You know the fiery darts of the wicked, which Satan launches against you, seeking an entrance into your heart and mind to influence you toward evil. People of God know that. But the great weapon that Satan has is the lie and deceit which he spins. He will even make use of the truth of the Word of God, and he will distort it and he will misapply it. Did that with the Lord Jesus Christ when he tempted him in the wilderness. Satan is the father of lies. And oh, so subtle. The wiles of the devil. His work is to deter sinners from seeking God. He would use any means possible to hinder the sinner from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying salvation in the Savior. What particular lies and deceits does Satan have among his weapons? Well, a great weapon he uses today is the idea of atheism. You know what that is, I am sure. The idea that there is no God. That idea is being broadcast, is it not, with increasing force. It's there in the media. It's there in the education system. It's all around us, friends. And I say to you, it comes from Satan. It's not what wise men have deduced. It's not the product of true learning. It's a deceit. It's a lie. The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. Is there anyone here this evening who wishes that there is no God? Perhaps because the Lord is speaking to you and making you aware of your sin and your need to repent. You're trying to shut out that thought and to whisk that thought away. And the devil is there with this suggestion. Oh, well, perhaps all of this religion, all of this worship is an illusion, founded on nothing. After all, who can prove that there is a God? Do not listen to Satan's suggestion. When men say there is no God, it is not the conclusion they have come to in assessing rationally the evidence before them. No, it is the wish, the desire of their unsanctified nature. They would have that desire that there is no God. Because to believe that there is a God, such a profound thing, a life-changing thing. It means we are accountable for our actions. It means that you here tonight are responsible for how you live. And that every thought, word, and deed is known to a higher authority, one who is the judge of all the earth, and one who has all your deeds in his book. A record of everything you have done in the body. Remember how the Bible begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It does not seek to prove God, that he exists. It assumes the existence of God. That's what our conscience tells us. And do not let Satan persuade you otherwise. Satan will make use of false religion. Witnessing today the spread once again of Romanism. That is a lie and deceit of the devil. There's no gospel there. For all the ritual, all the ceremony, all the pomp and all the circumstance, there's no salvation there. Doctrine of justification has been abused. We expect, unless the Lord intervenes, that the Pope will visit our shores soon. And we can imagine how the politicians and leaders of our nation will have that fawning attitude towards the one that the Bible reveals to be the man of sin. One of the things the Pope intends to do is to beatify, to make a saint out of John Henry Newman. He was a convert from the Church of England and became a cardinal in the Church of Rome. But Newman said something very interesting. He said, "The Church of Rome is either the house of God or it is the house of Satan. There is no middle ground between them." That was candid. And we know where the truth is to be found. Claims of Rome are so extraordinary that if they are not true, it can only be a devilish religion. Indeed, the synagogue of Satan. Do not be led astray by false religion. Materialism and worldliness. Or does that not get a grip of so many today? Is that not a lie that Satan uses to keep hold of those who are his prey? To say that this world is all that matters, and to say that we should live for the moment and not think of death and eternity. Oh, how many are beguiled in this way. us perhaps bring things a little nearer home. What of ourselves here tonight? How are we held in Satan's grip? There is such a thing as formalism. Formalism in religion. Gathered here among the people of God, you have the outward appearance, perhaps, of a true worshipper. But are you worshipping God in spirit and in truth? Is your heart right with God? Is there love in your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you bowing down in your spirit when you worship? Or is your pride intact? Or you can be in the strictest sect of Christendom, and yet your heart can be so far from God. Pride, self-righteousness, if open sin, flagrant sin, has slain its thousands, then respectability has slain its tens of thousands. How many have gone out into hell from under the sound of the gospel, imagining that because they are among God's people and because they have a certain form of religion, that all is well with them. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do not make that mistake. What is the result of Satan's activity? When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Here are poor sinners. And the devil has this hold upon them because of their sin. He's there in his subtlety. He's putting before them his enticing bait. He's making sin to be a pleasurable thing. They're swallowing the bait. And they're enjoying the pleasures of sin, not realizing that they're only for a season and soon they will be over. And sin will not be a pleasurable thing anymore. And the result is, his goods are in peace. Sinners are at peace. This is the worst of it, friend. You do not realize that you're under the sway of Satan. You do not understand your peril. It's an awful thing to be asleep in sin. So many are. It doesn't greatly bother them. They convince themselves that after all, they're better than others. They haven't done half the things that others have done. They look down upon others. Oh, that you would remember that the standard is the Word of God. And God's holy law and his infinite justice. Who can match up to those things? Can you? Can you stand before God tonight and say to God, accept me on the basis of my own works, the goodness of my heart, on the ground of my own work, what I have done, my neighborliness, my charity? Can you do that? Will you do that? Surely not. It would be the height of folly. The strong man is keeping your palace. He has an influence over your heart and mind and will. Your soul is in his grip because of your sin and because of your guilt. And how will you ever be any different? Have you a strength to deliver yourself from Satan's clutches? Can you deal with sin, which is your real problem? Can you change your heart so that you could have a good heart out of which good will come? No, you cannot change your heart. The heart that you had when you came into this world, the spiritual heart, as you go on in life, it's hardening, not softening. It's becoming more and more calloused. Repeated sin, a course of sin, it renders you all the less able to heed the voice of God and the call of the gospel. The strong man, Satan, keeping his talents, using his weapons, deceiving precious souls, maintaining his hold upon them. And they are in peace. Oh, what can be done? Is there help at hand? Is there some way of deliverance for poor and guilty and hell-deserving sinners? Well, we read now of a stronger than he, of one who is stronger than Satan. And is not this the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? He's the eternal Son of God. He's the creator of all things. He's the governor of the same. But he's also the redeemer, the savior of sinners. It's quite a thought that in his coming into the world, the Son of God did not appear at all to be a stronger than Satan. You think of the incarnation. You think of a helpless babe. You think of one dependent upon his mother. You think of one brought up in that ordinary household. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. But that time of preparation gave way ultimately to his public ministry. And the preaching and teaching of the things of God. And the proclaiming of the good news of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, harmless, undefiled. Separate from sinners. That sums up his life. The perfection of his obedience. Every precept of God's holy law kept to perfection. And not for himself. Why did he come? He came as the substitute of sinners, taking their place, fulfilling the demands of God's law on their behalf. Came, as Scripture reveals so clearly, in order to make his way finally to Jerusalem. There to be betrayed, taken by wicked men, mocked, scorned, derided, scourged, then nailed. Is Christ stronger than Satan? He's being crucified. He's suffering on the cross. He's athirst. His body is racked with pain. Blood is flowing from his wounds. Can he be stronger than Satan? It may not look like. Word of God declares Jesus Christ in our nature was accomplishing a mighty work indeed. He gave himself to the death of the cross. It was the Father's will. This was to be the payment. This was to be the ransom for the sins of his people. He suffered in his body. But oh, how he suffered in his soul. The sword of divine justice, which had no quarrel with Christ personally, was called upon by the Father to awake. It came out of its scabbard. And it was driven into the humanity of the Lord Jesus. It went as far as his divinity. And it could go no further. The glorious and mighty Lord, bearing the wrath of God, because the guilt of his people was imputed to him, descending into hell. Ah, but hell could not hold Christ. Devil may have thought that the cross, he was accomplishing his victory. He was destroying the divine plan. But it was not so. It could not be so. Christ, through death, destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ came upon Satan and overcame him at the cross. He bound the strong man by his atonement. The justice of God was satisfied by Christ. That justice had to be satisfied in order to the deliverance of those who were Satan's captives. Christ dies a triumphant death. It is finished. Is his great cry from the cross. He's buried. He rises again. He makes himself known to the disciples. It is the Lord. Thomas is able to reach forth his finger and his hand indeed into the wounds of Christ. My Lord and my God. We are here in the house of God this evening. And what do these things mean to us? Jesus Christ dying on a cross 2,000 years ago. Is that relevant to me? Oh, it's very relevant to you, friend. We're poor sinners. We have no strength, no ability to draw near to God. Sin has separated us. There must be reconciliation. How can it be? It's through the gospel. Christ, who once came upon Satan and overcame him at Calvary, now comes upon him and overcomes him by his Spirit in the gospel. The work of the Spirit following up the work of the Savior. Sinners, poor, blind, ignorant, deceived, in love with their sins, under the dominion of Satan. The gospel is what they need. It's what you need here tonight. Whatever your age, your background, your temperament, if you come under this description, a sinner, and you do, then the gospel is for you. He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Christ takes from Satan his armor, the armor in which Satan trusted, the weaponry he employed to deceive sinners. Satan is like Goliath, champion of the Philistines. Goliath trusting in his armor. No one will harm me. No one will come upon me and overcome me. And then you have David. David with his sling. David with a few smooth pebbles from the brook. He will come against Goliath. And he will sling a stone, and it will smite Goliath in the forehead. And Goliath will be overcome. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the foolishness of preaching, the preaching of a crucified Savior, one who was crucified through weakness, but risen by the power of God, the Lord Jesus puts forth his power by his Spirit in the preaching of the good news of salvation by his precious blood. He can say here, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Satan is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan must give up his prey when it pleases the Lord to bless the word and the truth of the gospel to poor sinners. As a sinner here this evening, do you see the Lord Jesus mighty to save? Do you see the power that is in the cross of Christ dealing with sin? Putting sin away, reconciling the guilty to God. Surely you see it. And you will see it if the Lord by his Spirit opens your eyes to the Word. Satan cannot prevent the work of the Spirit. The effectual call of grace. Jesus laying hold of sinners by his mighty hand in the gospel. Oh, are you seeking his help? Are you calling upon God? Are you coming, making confession to him of your sin and pleading for mercy? These are the ones whom the Lord Jesus will bless with forgiveness. We read in the verse that follows our text, he that is not with me is against me. Let us make application of that. What Jesus is saying is that there is no neutral ground. You cannot be somewhere in the middle. You cannot say to yourself, well, I have a place for God, but I am not ready to give myself wholly to God. You retain your heart, your affection, your will to yourself. I have to say to you, if that is the case, you are not the Lord's. You have religion as a cloak. You have not been born again. Christ must be all, He must be everything. He must be Savior and Lord. Or He is nothing at all. Has God shone the light of His gospel into your heart? Has there been conviction of sin, knowledge of your need of righteousness in view of the coming judgment? All of us who are gathered in this house tonight are one day going to stand before the great white judgment throne. Christ will be seated upon that throne. He's going to divide men. His sheep on His right hand, the goats who have spurned the offer of the gospel on His left. To be among His sheep, the Lord Jesus divides Satan's spoils. Does it in time, first of all. He makes a separation through the preaching of His word. There are poor sinners who fall down before Him, wounded by their knowledge of their sin. And they put their trust in Him for mercy. And they plead to Him all their days in this world that You would be among them. Otherwise, you are guilty of the greatest sin of all. What is that? Not believing on Christ. Oh, there are many who do not believe in Christ because they've never heard of Christ. You have heard of Christ. You've been told tonight that He is stronger than Satan. He's able to deliver you from your sin, to bring you to God. Why then do you reject Him? Will you not cry to the Lord that He would soften your heart, make you willing, and enable you to close with Christ, to get Him in the arms of faith, laying hold as He is freely offered in the gospel? And if He becomes your portion by faith now, He will be your portion forever. And though Satan may try you, afflict you, tempt you, he's lost his prey. Christ is now upon the throne of your heart. He has come in to abide. You will enjoy sweet fellowship with Him in all the means of grace. And that will be a token to you and a foretaste for you of the heavenly glory that awaits the people of God, when all the redeemed, and only the redeemed, are gathered with their blessed Lord. Look then to the one who is stronger than sin, the one who is able to save and to keep, the one who bruised the head of Satan, robbing him of his power, drawing the sting of death, which is sin, pain for the sins of His people. And in Him, you will know forgiveness, eternal life, the sure and certain hope of a blessed eternity. May God grant to us all the grace we need to acknowledge our sin before Him and to put our trust in Christ, the only Redeemer. May He bless His word to us. Amen. Let us pray.